Today is the 28th day of October. Welcome. Welcome back around the global campfire. I'm so grateful. So deeply grateful to be here with you today. How are you? I'm doing pretty good. Grateful for the gathering and the warmth of the fire and the cozy comfort of safety. In each other's presence, and the way that we are knit together in spirit, simply taking the journey through the scriptures and letting them have their way in our hearts and transforming us. I'm glad that we can do this. I'm grateful for another step forward, and our step forward today, is a final step forward in a couple of books. We will conclude the book of Jeremiah today, and we will conclude the letter to Titus today. So let's jump in. Jeremiah 51, 54 through 52, 34. Listen, a cry from Babylon. A great crashing from the land of the Chaldeans. For the Lord is laying Babylon waste and stilling her loud clamor. Their waves roar like mighty waters. The sound of their clamor resounds, for a destroyer has come against her, against Babylon. Her warriors are taken, their bows are broken. For the Lord is a God of recompense. He will repay in full. I will make her officials and her sages drunk, also her governors, her deputies, and her warriors. They shall sleep a perpetual sleep and never wake, says the king, whose name is the Lord of Hosts. Thus says the Lord of Hosts, the broad wall of Babylon shall be leveled to the ground, and her high gates shall be burned with fire. The peoples exhaust themselves for nothing. The nations only for fire, and they have become weary. The word that the prophet Jeremiah commanded Sariah, son of Neriah, son of Neriah, son of Maaseiah, when he went with King Zedekiah of Judah to Babylon in the fourth year of his reign. Sariah was the quartermaster. Jeremiah wrote in a scroll all the disasters that would come on Babylon. All these words that are written concerning Babylon. And Jeremiah said to Sariah, when you come to Babylon, see that you read all these words and say, O Lord, you yourself threatened to destroy this place so that neither humans nor animals shall live in it, and it shall be desolate forever. When you finish reading this scroll, tie a stone to it and throw it into the middle of the Euphrates and say, thus shall Babylon sink to rise no more because of the disasters that I am bringing on her. Thus far are the words of Jeremiah. Zedekiah was 21 years old when he began to reign. He reigned 11 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Hamutal, daughter of Jeremiah of Libna. He did what was evil in the sight of the Lord, just as Jehoiakim had done. Indeed, Jerusalem and Judah so angered the Lord that he expelled them from his presence. Zedekiah rebelled against the king of Babylon, and in the ninth year of his reign, in the tenth month, on the tenth day of the month, King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon came with all his army against Jerusalem. And they laid siege to it. They built siege works against it all around. So the city was besieged until the 11th year of King Zedekiah. On the ninth day of the fourth month, the famine became so severe in the city that there was no food for the people of the land. Then a breach was made in the city wall, and all the soldiers fled and went out from the city by night, by the way of the gate between the two walls of the king's garden, though the Chaldeans were all around the city. They went in the direction of the Arabah, but the army of the Chaldeans pursued the king and overtook Zedekiah in the plains of Jericho, and all his army was scattered, deserting him. And they captured the king and brought him up to the king of Babylon at Riblah in the land of Hamath, and he passed sentence on him. The king of Babylon killed the sons of Zedekiah before his eyes, and also killed all the officers of Judah at Riblah. He put out the eyes of Zedekiah and bound him in fetters, and the king of Babylon took him to Babylon and put him in prison until the day of his death. In the fifth month, on the 10th day of the month, which was the 19th year of King Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, Nebuzaradan, the captain of the bodyguard who served the king of Babylon, entered Jerusalem. He burned the house of the Lord, the king's house, and all the houses of Jerusalem. Every great house he burned down. All the army of the Chaldeans who were with the captain of the guard broke down all the walls around Jerusalem. Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, carried into exile some of the poorest of the people, and the rest of the people who were left in the city, and the deserters who had defected to the king of Babylon, together with the rest of the artisans. But Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, left some of the poorest people of the land to be vine dressers and tillers of the soil. The pillars of bronze that were in the house of the Lord, and the stands and the bronze sea that were in the house of the Lord, the Chaldeans broke in pieces and carried all the bronze to Babylon. They took away the pots, the shovels, the snuffers, the basins, the ladles, and all the vessels of bronze used in the temple service. The captain of the guard took away the small bowls also, the fire pans, the basins, the pots, the lampstands, the ladles, and the bowls for libation, both those of gold and those of silver. As for the two pillars, the one sea, the 12 bronze bowls that were under the stands, which King Solomon had made for the house of the Lord, the bronze of all these vessels was beyond weighing. As for the pillars, the height of the one pillar was 18 cubits. Its circumference was 12 cubits. It was hollow, and its thickness was 4 fingers. Upon it was a capital of bronze. The height of the capital was 5 cubits. Latticework and pomegranates, all of bronze, encircled the top of the capital. And the second pillar had the same with pomegranates. There were 96 pomegranates on the sides. All the pomegranates encircling the latticework numbered 100. The captain of the guard took the chief priest Sariah, the second priest Zephaniah, and the 3 guardians of the threshold. From the city he took an officer who had been in command of the soldiers, 7 men of the king's council who were found in the city, the secretary of the commander of the army who mustered the people of the land, and 60 men of the people of the land who were found inside the city. Then Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, took them and brought them to the king of Babylon at Riblah. And the king of Babylon struck them down and put them to death at Riblah in the land of Hamath. So Judah went into exile out of its land. This is the number of the people whom Nebuchadnezzar took into exile in the 7th year, 3,023 Judeans. In the 18th year of Nebuchadnezzar, he took into exile from Jerusalem 832 persons. In the 23rd year of Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, took into exile of the Judeans 745 persons. All the persons were 4,600. In the 37th year of the exile of King Jehoiakim of Judah, in the 12th month, on the 25th day of the month, King Evil-Merodach of Babylon, in the year he began to reign, showed favor to King Jehoiakim of Judah and brought him out of prison. He spoke kindly to him and gave him a seat above the seats of the other kings who were with him in Babylon. So Jehoiakim put aside his prison clothes, and every day of his life he dined regularly at the king's table. For his allowance, a regular daily allowance was given him by the king of Babylon as long as he lived, up to the day of his death. Titus 3. Remind them to be subject to rulers and authorities, to be obedient, to be ready for every good work, to speak evil of no one, to avoid quarreling, to be gentle, and to show every courtesy to everyone. For we ourselves were once foolish, disobedient, led astray, slaves to various passions and pleasures, passing our days in malice and envy, despicable, hating one another. But when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, he saved us, not because of any works of righteousness that we had done, but according to his mercy, through the water of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit. This Spirit he poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that having been justified by his grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. And the saying is sure. I desire that you insist on these things so that those who have come to believe in God may be careful to devote themselves to good works. These things are excellent and profitable to everyone. But avoid stupid controversies, genealogies, dissensions, and quarrels about the law, for they are unprofitable and worthless. After a first and second admonition, have nothing more to do with anyone who causes divisions. Since you know that such a person is perverted and sinful, being self-condemned. When I send Artemis to you, or Tychicus, do your best to come to me at Nicopolis, for I have decided to spend the winter there. Make every effort to send Zenas the lawyer and Apollos on their way, and see that they lack nothing. And let people learn to devote themselves to good works in order to meet urgent needs, so that they may not be unproductive. All who are with me send greetings to you. Greet those who love us in the faith. Grace be with all of you. Psalm 100. All lands summoned to praise God. A psalm of thanksgiving. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations. Proverbs 26, 18 and 19. Like a maniac who shoots deadly firebrands and arrows, so is one who deceives a neighbor and says, I am only joking. Okay, so Proverbs has kind of given us like a 1-2 punch, back-to-back days. Yesterday, we were considering how foolish drama-seeking is, how meddling in other people's business uninvited. How foolish that is. Today, Proverbs invites us to consider like even deeper, stark advice. This is about veiled deception, lying and then covering. And so before we get to that passage, let's just understand what it's talking about. So have you ever been in a situation where somebody's really, really harsh to you and they actually cut you and hurt you, and then they try to kind of basically gaslight you by saying it was just a joke and why can't you take a joke? And so they like paper cut you and then pass it off as if like you're the one that's just overly sensitive. So then they can cut you with their words. And if you're confronting them, then they'd flip it around so that the problem isn't that they were hurtful or abusive or had ill intent towards you, but instead it's your problem because you can't take a joke. Oh my gosh. Like, that like actually brings my temperature up a couple of notches. All right? So when this happens, gosh, there's like no way to win because they absolutely meant to hurt you. And you know it, and they know it, but they have this deniability and they are willing to be false and hide behind a lie. It's a lie, but it's a twisted lie, which will make you feel crazy. Just as damaging as a maniac shooting a deadly weapon is someone who lies and then says, I was only joking. Gosh, like a madman shooting a deadly weapon is not an unfamiliar image in the world in our lifetime. Like a deadly weapon being shot by a madman. This proverb is saying that this kind of cutting and then sidestepping and gaslighting and maneuvering, these deceptive tactics that insult and hurt actually cut a person and then re-injure that same person by trying to make them believe that the whole thing was a joke. That is like a madman shooting a deadly weapon. It's just as dangerous as that to the inside life. God, wow. Like, holy moly. So if this has happened to you, then you probably feel like you're crazy. And you can stop feeling like you've gone mad. Because you can name it. This is unhealthy situation. Maybe. Like, depending on what the relationship is, on the one hand, you can just like remove yourself away. Like, that's the end of that. Like, that's never happening to me again. But maybe it's like a lot closer than that, more complicated than that. Maybe you need counsel. Maybe you need therapy to understand what's going on. Or perhaps you just need to name it. Like, actually name it and bring it into the light and create some kind of boundary that is just going to protect you. Now, on the other hand, if that's you, like if this is actually hitting you between the eyes? Because that description is just a little too real and raw. Then name it. Face it. Own it. Instead of cutting with your tongue and manipulating with your mouth, bite your tongue and stop it. Because hurting somebody and then trying to protect yourself by making them believe you were just joking is profoundly dangerous and harmful. And when you're pulled toward that, well, consider this proverb. You're acting like a maniac, and you are shooting a deadly weapon. And that is not going to go well for you. Like we may be trapped in these behaviors and not even be self-aware enough. But I assure you, we're not going to get away with it. Not in the end. In this world, if a maniac shoots a deadly weapon at somebody, then they rarely get away with it. Not going to get away with this either. And so let's steward what we say. Because our words actually can bring God's kingdom. Or we can be a dangerous maniac shooting a deadly weapon. And we get to choose. And so, Father, we are often counseled in the scriptures to choose life. And we are told that the power of life and death is in our tongue. And so here it is. And here is one way that it plays out in real life. And we invite your Holy Spirit. We have to first become self-aware. We have to see what we're doing. Acknowledge and own what we're doing. And then we have to learn self-control to not be that way anymore. This is transformation. This is repentance. And brute force isn't going to do it. Practice and your Holy Spirit's guidance will transform us. And so come, Holy Spirit, into these behaviors, we ask, in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Hi, this is Sunflower from California. I am asking for a prayer for one of my sons. He has become quite bitter towards God over the years, and he's cutting off friendships and going down a dark road politically. I wanted to ask for a prayer for just revelation and revival in his life and in his wife's life as well. He is a wonderful person and just want to see him have a revelation of what he's actually listening to, the lies he's listening to, and for repentance and revival in his life. Thank you so much.
Hello, Daily Audio Bible Prayer Warriors. This is Elizabeth from Delaware calling in. And I wanted to thank you for your prayers for my dear friend, Monica. She went to be with the Lord on Thursday. And we're praising God that she went comfortably, that her family and children were there, and that it was a smooth transition. But please lift up her husband and her two adult children, that the Lord might comfort them like he comforted her in her journey. And thank you for your prayers for all those who have been lifting them up. God has a perfect way, and it may not be what we want, but his way is the best. And so we just thank God that she's resting in heaven and that her husband is coming to know you, Lord. And we ask that believers would rally around him and help him to find you, Lord, as well as his children. And I'd also like to lift up prayers for Eagle-Eyed Bruce. I one time had the pleasure of writing letters to him, and Lord, he is suffering. And I just ask that you would help him get the medication and the pain relief that he needs in the hospital, Lord. and not the hospital, in the prison, Lord, and that you would be with him. I know he was falsely accused of some things in my friends, and he's had a really hard time in jail because he's felt like he was innocent and wrong was done to him. So, Lord, you know his needs, and we just thank you for you can bless him and bless the men and women in prison who are being treated unfairly and not given what they need to survive and to live. Lord, please bless them and protect them. Fill them with hope and the knowledge of you. In Jesus' name we pray. God bless you all.
Good morning, Daily Audio Bible family. I just wanted to call in today, listening to Jill and Brian as they are in Greece and discussing the encounter they had with the young homeless man on the streets, and just really touched my heart. I know that over the years, this has become one of the things that really brings me to just a really hard place, seeing young people on the street, homeless and suffering with addiction problems, and knowing that that's somebody's child right there. I think when I was young and I look at homeless people and I was not really walking with the Lord, I would think, that person, they need to this, that, or whatever. But now, being a believer and having the Spirit of God living within you, you view things with a different, through a different lens. And I know visiting my home city in Canada last summer, I did encounter a young woman as well, and it was the same type of thing. I was able to help her out a little bit, but just able to tell her, here I am, I'm from thousands of miles away, and the Lord saw fit to bring me here just to meet with you and to help you out. That's how much he loves you. And I just pray for that young girl that the Lord heals her, that she is saved by the Lord, and that when it is her time, she does meet with him in eternity.
Well, Miss Jill Horton, you had me wrecked when you shared your testimony on October the 24th of how the Lord moved you over the man that you saw on the side of the road in Greece. What a profound statement you said. It wrecked me when I heard it. You said, when God moves on your heart, no matter what anybody else thinks, we should move, we should act. What a beautiful encouragement to this DAB community. I have been praying for you and Brian for strength and excitement and just to meet God in places that you never thought you would meet him on this journey. And look at you bringing back this word to the DAB community. Yes, yes, we need to be more like Jesus. That's what Jesus would have done, Jill. It's exactly what you did. Thank you for that. It was so beautiful. Thank you. I pray over you and Brian right now that the Lord will sustain you and give you many, many more God moments. I know y'all are tired. You have to be, just the travel and the going and the going and the going. But I pray that the joy of the Lord be your strength. And I pray this in Jesus' name. God bless y'all. Bye-bye. Taken with love from Louisiana.